What do you guys think? I think yada, yada, yada sounds different with Boston accents than Lancaster County, where we say yada, yada, yada. Anyway, happy Easter, everybody. It is good to see you and to be seen. And to Brian, welcome to you. This is your first Easter Sunday technically in person with us after you've been with us a year and a half. So this is good. If you would all do me a favor and stand, we are going to recite together the Apostles' Creed as a confession of what we as followers of Jesus and members of his church, both present and historic, hold to be true. And after we're done reciting this together, I would ask you just to remain standing as we listen to the scripture for this morning. So if you would join me, let's read together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, of the dead, and life everlasting. Amen. This is Paul's language and writing from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he has raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. You may have a seat. This morning, I want us to help us think about the resurrection of Jesus, not only as a fact, not only as a historical reality, but something that is as real today as it was on Easter morning. Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church about 55 AD, just a stone's throw away of when Jesus walked the earth, is already addressing a challenge that comes to the Corinthian church. Some were saying, as we read in verse 12, that there is no resurrection from the dead. But today is a day of celebration about the resurrection, of the resurrection, and it's an opportunity for us to think about the impact that the resurrection has on our lives. The resurrection is not something that we simply believe as if it's a matter only of historical fact or Christian doctrine or something like that. The resurrection is something that is an act that has changed the world, but not only an act that has changed the world as if in one time and place, but an act that continues to change the world. Sometimes in the church, we can simply treat the resurrection as a historical fact. It's something that happened at a particular place and in a particular time, or we think about the enormous implications the resurrection has for the future, but oftentimes we might miss the implications of the resurrection for the present. For the mission of the church, the life that you and I are both invited into to live each day with Jesus. It's through and because of the resurrection that you and I are invited into a living and dynamic relationship with God. Sometimes, though, in the church, too, there are some who might treat the resurrection with indifference. Not necessarily because they don't believe in it, but simply because they might not think of it as important or having contemporary significance. Or then again, there's probably those two within the church who might be indifferent to its truth. This morning, as we think with the Apostle Paul, what I would like to invite us to consider is the importance of the resurrection and the bearing that it has on our life now, not just as a historical fact, as something that has happened, but as something that continues to happen in our lives. And so I want to do this by breaking it up into two parts. I want us to think, first of all, about what it would be like if there was no resurrection, if what the Corinthian church was arguing is true. What is the significance of Paul's argument and what they're saying? What end does it lead towards? So in the first part, I want to help us to think about the consequences of indifference or denial like the Corinthians had. But then afterwards, I want to help us think for a few minutes about the possibilities that do exist because the resurrection has happened, because Christ has been raised. So first, let's think about the consequences if Christ has not been raised. Paul argues in verse 13, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has not been raised, the crucifixion, Good Friday, is the end of the story. Not only is the crucifixion the end of the story, but violence and death have the last word. And if violence and death have the last word, the life of Christ, everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus did, is not upheld or vindicated. If the life of Jesus is not upheld or vindicated, everything that Jesus said then was a sham. In other words, he's just one teacher among thousands or tens of thousands of other teachers in human history. All that talk about the kingdom of God, about an alternative reality to live and to be in this world, becomes simply words of a utopian dream in a dystopian world of violence. If Christ is not resurrected, then the power of that kingdom demonstrated through Jesus to his followers is non-existent. So said simply, if Christ is not risen, you and I are emptied of any power. We're emptied of any power. And Paul writes in verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, my preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Useless faith or useless preaching, that word useless there is translated as empty. You and I are empty. We are void of any power, anything beyond ourselves. And if and when you recognize what happens when you're just left to yourself and your own devices, it's not the best place to be. We're pretty limited people. Commentator David Pryor warns the church of indifference or denial when he says this: if people like those in Corinth decide to pick and choose which aspects of the truth they will accept, they will end up with no truth. If we only have ourselves to rely on, then, as Paul says, death reigns in this life and in the next. Verse 17 and 18. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Still in your sins, present tense. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost, future tense, or what has happened to those who have died. Living in sin is death, living in sin is darkness, and if Christ has not been raised, then life has not come, light has not come. There are no alternatives. We live without hope in this world, and we live without hope for anything beyond this world. And the last thing, if Jesus hasn't been raised, then Jesus is not God. Jesus is simply another man. And we are left with an incredible void to actually know what God is like. If Jesus is not resurrected and Jesus is not God, then everything that we talk about from week to week, all the scriptures that we talk about where in John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1 and 4, Jesus using all this language about saying, when you see me, you see the Father. All of that sort of stuff about the revelation of God and showing us the very heart of God because Jesus is God, all of that becomes a farce. In verse 15, Paul says, more than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified about God that he has raised Christ from the dead. He has vindicated Jesus, everything that Jesus said and did, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. So without the resurrection, the cross is the last word. Jesus is simply one among tens of thousands of other teachers. We have no hope for overcoming the powers of sin in this life or death which terminates our lives and existence at the end of this one, and we are still left clueless as to what God is actually like. So, the resurrection is just a wee bit important. It's not something that we can just do away with. And this is why we proclaim that Christ was raised. Christ was resurrected, and there are both biblical and historical roots for this, and we won't go into all the historical things, but for all the women in the room, one of the biggest testimonies to the reality of Jesus' resurrection was the witness of your forebears, of the women who ran and told the men of what had happened. They were the first witnesses, the first apostles, the first ones to testify to Jesus' resurrection. That was unheard of in that time and in that place. And then there's also the question of why would so many people who followed Jesus want to die for somebody who was still in a tomb? But Christ was raised. And everything that Jesus said and did because Christ was raised is true. It has authority. It has power. It has authority and power then, and it has authority and power now. If Christ was raised, then it's true that God looks like Jesus. And this is good news. If Christ was raised, then it's true that there's an alternative reality to the ways of this world, to the violence and the vengeance that we continue to observe and to witness. The resurrection of Jesus is, as Paul will say later in verse 23, the first fruits. It's the beginning. It's a foretaste of what things will be like. It's the beginning of the taste of God's reign on earth. It's the beginning of a formation of a new people that you and I are a part of, whose king is Jesus. If Christ was raised, then the power of separation caused by sin has been overcome, and reconciliation becomes the new movement and the new norm. Reconciliation in all the ways things have been broken. Reconciliation between us and God. Reconciliation between one another. Reconciliation that we need within ourselves. We feel that dividedness within ourselves. Reconciliation with creation. All of that stuff is not only a possibility now. We don't just say it's possible that all these things can be reconciled now because Jesus has been raised from the dead. We say that this is the new trajectory. This is going to be the new norm. This is the way towards which everything is moving. Separation is no longer the way which things are moving, but restoration and reconciliation and redemption. If Christ was raised, then we have overcome the power of sin. Christ has overcome the power of sin, and through him we have. We gain an alternative understanding of how to live. Through Christ, we don't live merely by our own efforts anymore, our own wisdom or our own strength, but we receive strength and wisdom from God. In Christ, we cease our striving and our trying and our earning, and we receive our identity as beloved children of God. The resurrection announces to us that the reign of God has begun. In other words, we are called to live now how we will live forever. Because of the resurrection, you and I are called to live now how we will live forever. The future promise of eternal life, the defeat of sin, of communion with God, has come from the future into the present. It's not just some promise that's far away, but it's something that has come near. And lastly, and maybe most beautifully, if Christ was raised, then we are invited to live our lives with a living and present God. A living and present God who took on flesh, who knows what it's like to be us, who became fully human, is fully sympathetic to your life, to my life, to everything that goes on in the world around us. The resurrection of Jesus proclaims that Jesus is alive, not just as a historic fact or a doctrinal truth, but Jesus is alive now, alive to each one of us. And we were created to be alive in him. Naturally, we experience death. We experience the death because of the sin and the separation that we have with God. But we are invited to live in the presence of the Lord Jesus now. And so the resurrection isn't just something that's a historical fact. It's not just a belief, but it's a way of life. It's a way that you and I live. It's the way that we can live because Jesus is resurrected. We live the resurrection, first of all, by living life with Jesus, filled with the Spirit of Jesus. As Jesus says at the end of Matthew, and I will be with you always until the very ends of the age. Faith in Jesus, it's not just a belief system, but it's a relationship with an actual person. It's a relationship with an actual person who is God with us. We live the resurrection by allowing the life of God to surge through our veins in cooperation with the Spirit, not only praying on earth as it is in heaven, but living it, working for it, seeking it. We live the resurrection as we live a different ethic where the first are last, and we bless our enemies instead of cursing them, where diversity is celebrated within the body of Christ, even as there is oneness amongst such diversity. We live the resurrection in what we value and how we value it. We live the resurrection as we choose to live in hope and not in fear. We live the resurrection in the community of people, of the people of the resurrection. You and I don't do this alone. We live the resurrection each time we encourage one another towards love and good deeds as we care for one another and sacrifice for one another. Over this last year, y'all, we've been living resurrection day in and day out. We live the resurrection as we bless the world without succumbing to the ways of the world. So on this resurrection morning, my question for us to consider is the place of the resurrection in your life. Because where you find resurrection, you will find Jesus, the living Christ, the one who has been raised. And there's also a part of us too, I think, for all of us, where we live with this tension of sometimes we inhabit resurrection and sometimes we don't. And instead of getting down in the places that we don't, maybe it's an opportunity for us to be able to invite Christ into those places. All of us have places that are dark, that are kind of dead in our lives, but those are places too where Christ enters into and brings resurrection and brings new life. Christ is risen. It's not historic, just historic. It's not just a belief. Like it's a reality. It's the air you and I breathe. It's the way that we live. It's how we live. If you would, let's just pray for a moment. I'll invite Brian and the rest of the team, I think, to come up here and lead us, and then we'll move into a time of communion. So if you want to prepare that a bit or a while, you can. But let's just pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you are living. It's not just that you came back to life and that's historic, but you are living now. You are reigning now. And God, we want to be people of your reign, people who experience the reign of Christ. Lord, in our world, we need the reign of Christ. And in just a moment, we will pray, Lord, that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray that your kingdom will come in our lives as it is in heaven. We pray that the reality of the resurrection in all of its different ways would find itself deep into our hearts. God, I pray that you would help us to be people of the resurrection in a world where speaking death is just normal. God, help us to be people of the resurrection that are speaking life and calling forth life, because that is the way to which all things are moving, to new heavens, to new earth, to new life with you. Jesus, we magnify your work and your reign because it is good. It is so good. Lord, we love you. We give you thanks. You are the resurrected Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joshua. The following song, Is He Worthy, functions much like the Apostles' Creed in that it is a type of creed. And there's a question and then there's an answer to that question. And the song gets at this dichotomy of the kingdom of the world, which is broken, but that the light is breaking through with the kingdom of God, with Jesus Christ. And that reality is something that we live as a church, and we are witnesses to the world. So I invite you, the beginning part, I'll pose the question, and you answer. It should be up on the screen. And then we'll join in together on the chorus. Let's stand.